Good morning and welcome to a time of hope with highlights of our services last Sunday. We also want to remind you that you'd be most welcome to join us for worship live and in person this morning in our sanctuary at 101 North Oak. We're the church with the clock in the steeple. Sunday school starts at 9:30. Our sister church Salem has services at 8:30. They're out on Highway K. It will be a great morning to worship God.
As we do each Sunday, let's prepare our hearts, begin to come from where we have been to where we are now, and to open our spirits to God by singing this little worship chorus, "I Love You, Lord." Let's stand together and call ourselves to worship. Give thanks to the Lord.
Sing praise to God's name.
The Lord has done wonderful things for us.
The Lord has heaped blessings upon blessings in our lives.
Come, sing, shout, and give thanks to God.
Jenny Medlin leads our children's time.
Mean. How are you all? It's so wonderful to see such a large group here this morning, coming off of Fair Week, vacation. And did anybody go school shopping this weekend?
No.
Some? No, don't talk about school yet, huh?
Got school clothes.
Oh, very good. Already getting school clothes ready? Well, it's a wonderful time of year when we start to think about going into the next grade and ending our summer fun. And one of the scriptures we read today talks about in Romans 10, how beautiful the feet are of those, let me make sure I get it right. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So I want to talk about some of the good news and good things you've done this summer. Raise your hand if you attended Vacation Bible School. Awesome. Raise your hand if you've partaken in a VeggieTales this year. Did anybody do VeggieTales? Yeah, that's awesome. How about church camp? Oh, many of you went to church camp. How about Sunday school? Oh, I'm so glad to see you've made it to Sunday school. And we're all here in church today, right? That's wonderful. And I love that you're visiting here, but you have another church that you get to go to, and that counts, definitely. Do you go to Sunday school there?
No.
That's okay.
Yeah, I went to Sunday school, but this is a different church where I go, but I go to.
I'm so happy for you. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing. These are the good things that you've done this summer. Do you think these are good news that you can share with friends? I was so pleased. Miss Kendall shared her art project with me. Many of you have done art projects in your Sunday school class, right? Charlie, you shared one. Who made an art project this morning? Oh, that's fascinating and so cool. Can you share those with your friends, with your family? That is you sharing good news. And the good news that we can share with all is that we love Jesus and Jesus loves us. And you know what? That is going to help us build such wonderful relationships, and we're going to crowd heaven someday, okay? So as we go forth into a new school year and gear up for that, let's share the good news of Christ and the love that Jesus gives to us, and share that love with our friends and family and even strangers. Can you help me do that? All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for giving us the ability to accept, receive your love, and now to share and grow in your love. God, thank you for all the opportunities and for those that lead us and guide us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Steve English, who now lives in Jefferson City but grew up in our church, was with us to sing special music. Listen as he sings, "How Great Thou Art." Snyder reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Matheny's sermon, Beautiful Feet.
This morning, our first lesson will come from Psalms 85, verses 8 through 13. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, and to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. Yea, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. Here ends the first lesson. Our second lesson comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. Then he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Here ends the second lesson. Our third lesson comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by it. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For man believes with his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord for all and bestows his riches upon all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. Here ends the third lesson.
Well, as you know, as it's been published, I'm going to be talking about feet today. And I was doing some research about feet and found some really interesting things about the human foot that you may not think about normally. There are 26 bones in the human foot. There are 33 joints and 100 muscles and tendons and ligaments in each foot. And this is something, you know, I mean, I'm sure I would have noticed it if I would look. There are four types of foot shapes that most people have. The first is the Egyptian form of type, and that's when the big toe is the longest. I think for most people, maybe it is. But in the Greek style of foot, the second toe is the longest. You probably have seen that, or maybe that's true to you. And then the third is the Roman, which is that the first two or three toes are exactly the same size. That would be interesting. And then last, the peasant style, and that's when the big toe is the longest and the other toes are all even. And I've seen that before. And so there's all kinds of foot types that people have. I think you know that going barefoot is more common in tropical countries where, you know, it's cooler. And in some places, unfortunately, the people are impoverished, and so they don't have access to shoes like they should. But in India and some of the places, it's also a religious aspect of their faith that you go barefoot. You've probably seen pictures of monks and different people in those Asian cultures, and they go barefoot. I was kind of surprised. It said, what country has the most barefoot people? Well, it's Australia and New Zealand. I mean, how would you know that? But those two countries are known for people who go barefoot. And they mentioned in this article that, you know, you go to stores in Australia, grocery stores, different stores, and you'll see people who are going barefoot. It's, I guess it's just a custom there, something that is not a part of our culture. I remember when I was a kid growing up in Oklahoma, as soon as the weather started getting better, we all wanted to go barefoot. And so we'd take our shoes off and run outside in the yard, back and forth. It seems like you could always run faster, you know, when you didn't have your shoes on. And so we always look forward to that. And then my wife reminded me that in one of the stages of my life, I worked part-time at a large department store in Milwaukee. And like in a lot of the large department stores, they had a women's shoe department, big women's shoe department. And so I sold women's shoes. And it was a really unique experience. And, you know, because I remember sometimes the person would say, well, I need a real comfortable shoe. And so I would get every shoe that I could think of that would be comfortable and, you know, try it on, and they'd say, oh, no, that hurts. I can't do that. And so I don't know what they actually finally purchased, because none of the shoes seemed to fit them exactly right. So it was quite an experience. I don't know if you know this, but in the Bible, many times going barefoot is a sign of spirituality, a sign of reverence to God. Remember the story of Moses, how Moses was on the mountaintop with God, and as God came to him, God said, Moses, you know, take off your shoes, because this is a holy place. And so Moses obeyed, and we have that recorded for us. And there's other places, too, in the Old Testament where it talks about people going barefoot as a sign of reverence and worship to God in that setting. Well, it's always been interesting to me in the modern church setting that there are a number of denominations which practice foot washing. That's not a tradition in the UCC, although I know in some churches during Lent, there is this always the reading of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. I look forward to reading it each year, where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples as an act of love and service. And so because of that, certain communities, like in the Mennonite and Amish communities, they regularly practice a service of foot washing. They do divide it among men and women, but it's an important part. I never did that in any of the churches where I pastored. I guess I didn't want them to see my feet or something. I don't know. But I can see how it could be very meaningful to you in that setting, that you yourself would humble yourself to wash another person's feet, and then the recipient, you would need to set aside, you know, your pride or shame to have someone wash your feet. It would be, I think, a moving experience. Well, Pastor Matheny, why are you talking about feet? I mean, are you just enamored with feet or something? No. I'm thinking about it because of the scripture that was read this morning from the 10th chapter of Romans. As you know, Romans is a wonderful book written by Paul. It's a real heavy book to read through. I don't know how many times. I mean, I hardly know anybody who says, oh yeah, I had my devotions today from the book of Romans. They don't usually say that. It's pretty heavy sledding. And the reason it is that Paul, who was a very devout Jewish rabbi, came to know Christ as his Savior. And when that happened, he was so filled with God's love that he decided, you know, he wanted to tell everybody about it. And so he went forth into the world on his missionary journeys and all the places where he traveled, telling people about God's love in Jesus Christ. And in Romans, a lot of it, like chapter 9, 10, and 11, are about how that although he was a devout Jewish person, now he had transitioned into becoming a devout Christian. And in his eyes, he believed that God now had done away with these divisions of Jewish, Gentile, to become one Christian church. And in chapter 10 that was read today, he's talking about this new dimension of Christ and his presence among us. In verse 9, I'll find it here, yep. He says, the word is near you, and it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming to you. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe, it's your mind and heart, and it is with your mouth that you confess this belief, and because of that, you find his salvation. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference now between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all and richly blesses all those who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so that's the message that he proclaims everywhere he went, that as people open up their hearts to God's love and presence, if they welcome him into their life, they find his salvation. And then we come to the reason why I'm talking about beautiful feet. Because he says, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one who they've never heard about? That's a good question. And how can they hear with someone without someone telling them? It's another good question. And how can they do this unless we send them? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, I'm sure that if you were to show us your feet, sometimes they wouldn't be very good looking. You know, because as you grow older, you have bunions and corns and hammer toes and ingrown toenails and athlete's feet. I mean, just all kinds of things that happen. And yet, I want you to know that God says, you have beautiful feet. Anyone who, through their prayers, through their giving, through their service, in all the ways that we live out our faith every day, everywhere we go, God says, you do so with beautiful feet. And I hope you'll remember that whenever you take your shoes off at night or whenever you put them on in the morning, in some way you're aware of your feet, that God says they're beautiful. And that's a wonderful thing that God says to all of us this day and always. You have beautiful feet. Amen. I wanted to say something about the prayer hymn because it brought back some special memories for me. The little hymn, Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying, was written by Ken Miedema. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of him or have heard him speak or sing, but he has been blind since he was a very young boy. But he spent his whole life just living, you know, pretty much normally. I don't know how he does it, but he rides a bicycle, he's water skied, he's done all kinds of things. But in his adult life, he's best known for being a speaker and a composer of Christian music. He performs all over the world, literally all over the world. He shares his music, his gifts. He has spoken a number of times at the UCC Synod meetings that we've had in different locations. And Don and I have had the opportunity to hear him. And the thing that I always appreciated and really enjoyed is that he does musical improvisations. And by that I mean people give him a word or they have some kind of topic and he makes a song right then, right on the spot. He just starts playing and singing. And sometimes they're really funny the way he does it, but many times they are they're deeply spiritual and meaningful. And if you want to hear him, you can go onto YouTube sometime, Ken Miedema, and you can hear him sing in person. He's really a gifted guy. This is a song that we sang at one of the little churches where I served. Each Sunday before we prayed, they would sing this song, Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying.